Good evening, this is Radio Cracker 101.4 FM, broadcasting to Potters Bar and the surrounding districts. This is Chris Cook, and normally at this time I have a guest in the studio for a programme called 10x1, where the invited guest chooses 10 of their favourite pieces of music and we talk about their life. But there's a slight difference this week, because during Thursday, in fact, the 5th of December, the Carnival Band with Maddie Pryor came to play in Potters Bar at the Williot Centre, and I took the opportunity to have an interview with Maddie Pryor to talk a little bit about her music and herself, and I'd like to share that with you. The track you're listening to at the moment is called Awake Awake, which is taken from the Stormforce 10 album. And the way I've structured this is to take the interview and intersperse it with pieces of music from Maddie's very varied music career. So I would invite you to sit back on this Sunday evening till around about 5 to 11 and join me in an appreciation of Maddie Pryor, the lady, and her music. This is Chris Cook for Radio Cracker at the Williot Centre in Darks Lane, Potters Bar, and I'm very privileged to have as my guest to interview today, Maddie Pryor, who is currently touring with the Carnival Band. Good afternoon, Maddie.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. We've been given this portable DAT machine by Dave Bennett to do an interview. The first time I've seen it was about an hour ago, so hopefully it's all going to work. At least it's counting down, which is something.
Oh, that's good. What's it counting down to?
I don't know. 15, get to 15 minutes at some point. Maddie, you're no stranger to Potters Bar. This is
no.
Your locality almost, isn't it?
Well, I had spent my adolescence, as it were, in St Albans, and we used to come over to the Robin Hood, to the folk club over here. But I don't think I've been here since then, actually. I think when that was.
Right, well, it's terrific to have you back in Potters Bar. You're doing a show tonight with the Carnival Band, which is not your usual band, is it?
Well, no, we do an intermittent project kind of thing. We do the carols once a year, because it's really the only time you can do carols.
Mm-hmm.
And I also work, of course, with Steel Eye. And I'll do solo projects as well.
Right. I'd like to talk about Steel Eye and the solo projects later, but tell me more about the Carnival Band. I've been watching you set up there. Sounds as if there's some sort of pantomime going on.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we do a little pantomime each year. It sort of seems to have developed, and it's getting a bit out of hand, actually. We're doing Jack and the Beanstalk this year, so but they're good fun. We enjoy doing them. We do them.
But it's a particular musical style with the Carnival Band, though, isn't it? Thinking back to the album Sing Lustily, with
yes.
Great Courage, Good Courage?
Yes, with good courage, yes. It's that was done as 18th century gallery hymns. Andy Watts, who's the MD and arranges all the material, he's got great knowledge of different styles and what was pertained to certain times. And we did the gallery carols as 18th century in 18th century style. But the carols we've been much more liberal with, and we've got everything from a lute version of the Coventry Carol through to a Cajun version of Angels from the Realms of Glory. So nobody's purist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a particular musical style though, because as you mentioned, you're using a lute and other very traditional sort of instruments.
It's all acoustic, apart from when the guitarist has one moment of glory on the electric guitar. Or I'm not even sure, we haven't banned him from that actually. But it's acoustic, and it's very, they use shawms, bagpipes, lutes, fiddles, percussion, tabor and things like that, and double bass. So it does have certainly a strong influence of medieval and mm-hmm. Renaissance music.
Is it three albums you've made with the Carnival Band?
We have. We've done two carols and a hymns. And we're just lately branching out into the world of secular music. So that's with a project called Singing in the Bath.
Singing in the Bath?
Yes, which means that we can sing anything that we like. Because we sort of thought of doing a project of sort of 17th century songs or something. And I said, well, one of the great things about doing the carols is how many different styles we use. And why should we suddenly restrict ourselves once going outside the carol? So we're trying to kind of like find a repertoire that we enjoy singing. Mm-hmm. And it's been very interesting. Things like Lyndon Lee have come up, which I haven't sung since I was a child. And, mm-hmm. and it's really quite very... It's really smashing. Enjoying that.
And that's likely to be an album in the near future?
Well, hopefully, yes. We're just in case of getting around. I have to be careful not to put too many records out. I mean, it's...
I can assure you.
Let him come hither.
Let's talk a bit about the different musical styles you become involved with. For many people, Steel Ice Band means only one thing,
yes.
Which I won't mention.
Oh, I will. All Around My Hat and Gaudete, I think, is the other one that people know us for. And they're the two that seem to have got through to the consciousness of the country wide, as it were, because most people go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And that's kind of as much as they do, unless you're someone who's followed the albums, and of course there are a lot of those. I can't remember how many, but there's quite a few, and that's so there's a big repertoire of material there, apart from the two songs that are known.
Mm-hmm. All around my hat, I will wear the green willow, and all around my hat for a 12-month and a day, and if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all for my true love, who's far, far away.
Your pleasure comes in commercial success or in the actual professional work that you put out. Do you look back more on the pleasure in the albums and the different music that you've created rather than, say, having a... Was it number four chart hit with both of those songs?
Three. the question is slanted, so I'm going to say... It was the commercial success was interesting because it was totally manic and totally hysterical.
White Suits on Top of the Pops.
Absolutely. In both senses of the word, it was kind of hysterically funny, but also hysterical. There was a lot of hysteria going on and craziness. But it was quite, I wouldn't have missed it. I'm pleased that we we went through there once. I don't think I'd want to live in it permanently because I found the business side of it quite difficult to deal with. I'm not very good at it, and unless you are massively appealing to a middle audience, you've got trouble all the time with record companies because they're wanting you to do something that you don't want to do, and I'd rather not be involved in that discussion. It's much easier for me not to have to talk about it, if you know what I mean, with anybody, and just get on with what I want to do. And I've luckily put myself in that position, really.
Mm-hmm. It gave you the opportunity to travel quite extensively, Australia or America?
Absolutely. I think that they gave us a profile, as they call it, media speak, so that we could go abroad and we did go. Mind you, we took it totally as our sort of right, if you like. I mean, we didn't sort of consider this at all odd. We were very strangely arrogant, like young people are. They just assume this is what is supposed to happen. And so in lots of ways, I think, although we did a lot of work before those days, we were... it's still... You don't appreciate it at the time. I think you miss a lot of things. We were touring all over the world, and we had a great time, as I say. It was a pretty hysterical time.
Mm. But that wasn't the start of Steel Iceman by any means. 1968 would be the starting point?
69 we actually formed. We first worked in 70. And it was... And we started, and I got involved in it in traditional music, which was not popular music. I mean, there were a lot of people very interested in it, more than perhaps is true now, although it's become ethnic music and world music. And so it was, one wasn't looking into that kind of energy of popular music. We were looking to something far more esoteric, well, not esoteric, but, you know, there was a kind of bit of scholarship before. We'd like looking up the songs, and there was all that to do, you know, and I quite enjoyed all that.
Mm. The scholarly side of it, almost.
Yeah, I'm not at all scholarly, in fact, but I like reading about it, and I sort of get an overall feeling for it, and I found a great interest in that, and it gave the material great depth for me, and I think it has got a lot of depth, and that's the side of it that I found it satisfying.
Mm.
Oh, where is my love gone with his duty?
really have a niche, though, in, if I can call it a market of electric folk rock. Yeah. I mean, I'd consider you to be quite distinctive from, say, Fairport Convention.
Yes, I think we're very different from Fairport. Steel Eye has always gone its own path, and it's never been quite the folk path, and it's never been the pop path, and it's never been anybody's path. And that's a mixed blessing in the fact that sometimes people like to classify things quite neatly, and we don't really fit in anywhere very neatly. Mm. But then the delight of it is that it does go along its own road, and you sort of just, that's the way it is. And every now and again we've tried to make it go in certain directions, but we've always been dreadful failures at it. We're much better just doing what we want to do. Mm. And that's generally speaking what we've done. And that works for us. You know, it doesn't work for everybody, but it does work for us. The more we do what we want to do rather than what we think we ought to do, the better it is. Mm.
There's quite a lot of variety within Steel Eye Spare, and you had the Mummers plays that you did with the BBC.
Oh, yes, we were very into visuals in the early days. It was a very visual kind of show. I used to have about 5 changes at one point, and it was great. And we did an opening with the Like Wake Dirge, with where we wore the Mummers Streamers costumes. And we opened American shows with that. We did some American shows opening with that, and with just the unaccompanied Like Wake Dirge, which is an incredibly powerful, threatening kind of thing. And they used to light us from underneath these great shadows behind us. And they absolutely freaked. The Americans couldn't, because it looked a bit Ku Klux Klanish to them, you see. So they kind of freaked and thought this was really weird. And we were sort of a bit bemused by all this, you know, like, you know. And it was, so we had a lot of really interesting and different things that we did with not only the music itself, which we would always pull an inside out. I think one of the most extreme things, although it wouldn't seem it now, was when we did Reggae Spotted Cow, which at the time in sort of 76 or something seemed it was an extraordinarily bizarre thing to do. And so we've always had a go at pulling things about, and it's been said we've done some of the best and some of the worst with traditional music, and I think that's what's inevitable if you're going to try different things, you know.
Said I, good morning to you now. The maid replied, kind sir, she cried, I've lost my spotted cow.
The maid replied, kind sir, she cried, I've lost my spotted cow. No longer weep, no longer mourn, your cow's not lost, my dear. I saw her down in yonder grove, come love and I'll show you where. I saw her down in yonder grove, come love and I'll show you. Across the flowery day.
famous case of the, was it the Cambridge Folk Festival when, what happened then?
Oh, we used to do what we called the Rockers Encore, and we used to dress up in, you know, like rockers with teddy boy outfits, and I used to have this great blonde wig and high heel, you know, this high heel skirt and great wide gold belt. And we were literally almost, well, we were unrecognisable because when I put the outfit on first, nobody in the band took any notice of it. They just kind of ignored me, and then they suddenly realised who I was. But Peter walked on stage, and Derek Brimstone, in fact, it was, who was on stage doing the MC, and he tried to throw Peter off. And they were sort of staring at each other, terrified it was going to come up in fisticuffs, because neither of them were interested in the least in being in fisticuffs. Mm-hmm. So eventually Pete said, it's me, it's Pete. Oh, God, is it? Oh, goodness. That's, he said, oh, thank goodness for that. And, you know, so it was, but it was just the shock of the idea of us dressing up.
Hello?
Tune in! Pay out!
Near you.
Good evening. You're listening to Radio Cracker Potters Bar, broadcasting on 101.4 FM to Potters Bar and the surrounding districts. We're running right the way through till Christmas Eve, and we'd like some money off you, please. The shop will be open tomorrow morning. That's situated next to Century 21, opposite Potters Bar Station. You can go in there, you can make a straight donation, or if you'd like to make a dedication for a song, please don't specify a particular artist or record. Leave that up to DJs here. That'll help a great deal. Or you can buy some Tearcraft merchandise, which will be on sale down there. And, of course, the Radio Cracker sweatshirts, T-shirts, baseball caps, radios, aprons, tea towels, mugs. You name it, it's down there. Plenty of Christmas presents. Well, thank you for tuning in this evening. My name's Chris Cook, and I'm in conversation with Maddie Pryor. This interview was recorded shortly before Maddie went on stage with the Carnival Band at the Williot Centre last Thursday. We've been exploring, we heard, first of all, some music from the Carnival Band, including Angels from the Realms of Glory, a real jazz arrangement there at that song, and some early Steel Ice Band songs, including The Blacksmith, Spotted Cow. We couldn't find the reggae version. I don't think Maddie's had that released as yet. And we're taking you through some of the more unusual tracks at the moment. We show the other side of both Steel Ice Band and Maddie Pryor. For example, their Ragdoll, the arrangement of the Four Seasons song. And moving on, we have this track called Rave On.
Oh, I look at how the little things that you say and do make me want to be with you. Rave on. Crazy feeling, well, I know it's got me reeling. I'm so glad you're revealing your love for me. Rave on and tell me not to feel lonely. Tell me you love me only. Rave on to me.
Well,
look at the little things that you say and do. Make me want to be with you. Rave on, crazy feeling. Well, I know it's got me reeling. I'm so glad you're revealing your love for me. Rave on and tell me not to feel lonely. Tell me you love me only. Rave on to me. Little things that you say and do make me want to be with you. Rave on, crazy feeling. Well, I know it's got me reeling. I'm so glad you're revealing your love for me. Rave on and tell me not to be lonely. Tell me you love me only. Rave on to me. Bum bum ba bum. Rave on to me. Bum bum ba bum. Rave on to me. Bum bum ba bum. Rave on to me.
Eli, you had the personnel changes going through. There was always you and Tim at the beginning. Then the band changed quite radically. You brought Nigel Pegram in to play drums.
That's right. When the drums came in, that was sort of quite a salient point, really. That's when it changed quite a lot, I think. Rick, my husband, had been playing bass for a while. He'd been quite frustrated by the fact that basically the bass was just a rhythm keeper. And he's a very melodic player and really would rather not be absolutely hampered by the fact that all you're doing is keeping rhythm. So we eventually, after much debate and argument and discussion and rows and goodness knows what, we eventually got Nigel to come in, and that kind of gave it a new lease of life and moved it in a different direction completely. So.
Mm-hmm.
You're
But then you changed again when it came to... Well, you split the band.
Yes.
Then reformed with Martin Carthy and John Kirkpatrick.
Well, no, Martin and John came in before the split. We had to finish off some work that was in the book, as it were. Then Pete and Bob had decided they wanted to go do a solo project. We were basically exhausted, you know. We just had enough. And nowadays, they'd just say, take a year off. But in those days, they didn't say things like that. They just kept you working. And we weren't strong enough just to say... We were so busy fighting each other as well at the time that we didn't have the sense to just say, we're going to just stop, you know, because it was just too tempting to carry on. And so we should have just stopped for a year and then we would have been fine. But we weren't sensible enough to do that. But we were manic and crazy. It was, you know, you were running around all over the world. We never stopped working at the time.
Scrubbing the floors while you're gawking. And maybe once you dipped me and it made you feel so well in this ratty waterfront, in this ratty hotel. But you never know to whom you're talking. You never guess to whom you're talking. Suddenly one night there's a scream in the night and you yell, what the hell is that din? And you see me kind of grinning while I'm scrubbing. And you'll say, what she got to grin? And the ship, the black freighter, with the skull at a masthead, sails into the bay. Then you gentlemen can say, stairs and you keep here and you pass out the tips as you look out at the ship, but I'm counting up heads as I'm making up beds, cause tonight none of you will sleep here, tonight none of you will sleep here. Then on that night there's a bang in the night and you yell, what the hell is that now? And you'll see me kind of staring out the window and you'll say, what you got to stare at now? And the ship, the black freighter, with the 50 long cannons, opens fire on the town. And the cheer rings the air. could hear a foghorn miles away. In the quiet of death, I'll say, kill 'em now. And they'll pile up the bodies, and I'll say, hoopla. And the ship of the Black Freighter sails away out to sea, and on it is me.
Gave you an opportunity to work on some solo projects to start on the Maddie Pryor albums.
That's right, and I started writing at that point. I was only just going to do it as a project album, but eventually, of course, it got promoted into being a whole career. And that started that seam off of work that I've done and continued through in various forms, with very largely with Rick, my husband. Mm-hmm. We've worked together.
What?
In the country had to go when the Dow Jones
circumstances.
Good evening. You're listening to Radio Cracker, Potter's Bar 101.4 FM. And this is Chris Cook with my what would normally be 10 by 1 on a Sunday evening. But this is a 10 by 1 with a difference because I'm interviewing Maddie Pryor. Or I did interview Maddie Pryor last Thursday, to be more accurate, when she came with the Carnival Band to play an excellent gig at the Williot Centre in Potter's Bar, the first date on their tour, which goes right around the country, ending up in Northumberland just before Christmas. A very good gig, very much enjoyed by everybody who went there. Good time was had by all. We've been listening to a sample of music by Maddie Pryor, just to demonstrate the versatility of the lady. And at the moment, looking at some of her own compositions, her own work, and I do enjoy the line in that record talking about the money made from people who made records. Shows the humour coming through. We're going to continue in just a moment, but I'd like to say a few thank yous, and the thank yous go to our sponsors, Canada Life, Albany Life, Pronto Print, City Initiative, InterAlbion, who are carrying out their own fundraising event for us, and Elmcourt Youth and Community Centre, which is where I'm sitting at the moment on the first floor of the old building, looking out on a very quiet Potter's Bar. So I guess everybody's at home listening to the radios. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the programme. Quick reminder that next Saturday at the British Home Stores in St Albans, there'll be a Radio Cracker Fun Day, which has been organised by the management and staff there and promises to be really good. And we are offering some shares at £10 each to everybody out there in Potter's Bar. We'd invite you to buy one, buy two, however many you'd like to. You'll receive a certificate, which is numbered and signed by myself, as it happens, and you will be directly contributing to the Radio Cracker Appeal. Quick reminder that we raised over the country something like £500,000 last year, and in Potter's Bar around about £10,000. We've got a bit of a way to go before we do that, but at least the shop is open, so you can pop in to the shop, which is opposite the British Rail Station in Darts Lane, and purchase some merchandise. Let's have another track now from Maddie's solo work. This is taken from the excellent Woman in the Wings album, and it's called Rosettes, and then back to the interview.
Yeah.
Steel Iceman album that you put together? Would it be one of the earlier ones, middle period, later period?
They're sort of like different bands in a way to me. The very first album I find fascinating because they're lovely tunes on it and there's some lovely things on it, but we never toured EC, so it's still it has a kind of pristine of its time quality. So the songs are still a bit unknown to me, whereas when you've toured songs, they change their feeling. I thought all of them have got something in them that I like, and most of them have got something I don't like. So Parcel of Rogues was a good album. That was a very that was a sort of the turning point where before we took the drums up. But the material was the Jacobite material, which is very powerful. I did like that.
Could you explain to me Camille from France? I played it on a lunchtime show today, and I was going to try and explain all about it. But
yes, it's
you really ought to tell me.
Yes, it's in old Scottish, so it's quite difficult to understand. It's about the 1715 rebellion, and I think I've got this right because it's a long time since I looked all this up, and. It's about George, the King George, as I think it was. I don't know which George it is, but 1715. Those who know about these things will know which George it was. I think it was the mad one.
George III?
Was it George III? I think it was George III, but I'm not sure. And he had a mistress called the Goosey. And the song is basically a vitriolic attack on the English king and their goings-on, as it were. Have you come from France? Did you see Geordie Whelps, they called him, riding on a goosey? This explains itself. And it's all about the losing the Highland things, and what they've got instead is the English king, you know.
For France there, which to me is very much one of my favourite tracks. The current album, Tonight's a Night Live, we played a few tracks off there as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that project?
Well, that we decided we wanted to do an album, and we decided for some reason to do a live one. I can't remember what the reasons were now, but anyway. And it was, but we wanted to do new material as well as some that's already recorded, perhaps that's been recorded a long time ago, and we've rethought and rearranged. And that's basically what the album is. And we did what I think is a lovely version of Tam Lin, which is one of my favourite of the big ballads, that Bob's set to mainly their Eastern European tunes. And that, I think it's come out as a really attractive piece. And we did Padstow again, I think that was on. And
Dawn of the Day?
Dawn of the Day, that was what that was. I actually wrote that at the end of a very long day with the kids. And it has, it's called Dawn of the Day, it's really about the end of the day, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the other one, 10 Long Years.
Oh, 10 Long Years, that was one that Peter wrote. And it's quite interesting that he, I don't know whether he came up with it because of what's been would have been happening with the Birmingham Six and the, is it Birmingham Six and the Guildford Four? Guildford Four, the Birmingham Six. Anyway, 2, 4, 6. And it is about a sort of an injustice in that sort of area, which is quite interesting.
Tonight they're all ashore, and they've had enough to drink, they drink some more. That's what the old town's for. Tonight's the night for drinking. Southerly, and he's blowing up a gale from Portsmouth down to Dover. There they are all supping up the ale until the storm is over. Tonight they're all ashore, and they've had enough to drink, they drink some more. That's what the old town's for. Tonight's the night for drinking. And easterly, and it's anybody's guess, and a few of them are out there hauling, but most of them they take a little rest when they hear Lord Nelson calling. Tonight, tonight, they're all ashore, and they've had enough to drink, they drink some more, and that's what the old town's for. Tonight's the night for drinking. Westerly, and nothing but the sound of a thousand seagulls screaming. It's thirsty work that bobbing up and down, so it's homeward bound, they're steaming. And tonight, tonight, they're all ashore, and they've had enough to drink, they drink some more. That's what the old town's for. Tonight's the night for drinking.
Tends to go for this sort of material, White Man as well. That had quite a story behind it.
Yes, he does like to. That was the Aborigines in Australia, of course. And yes, he does like that kind of thing. It's not actually overly political, strangely enough, but he just writes that way. If you like.
Mm-hmm. Quite a darts player, I gather.
Oh, yes, and very good at snooker and golf, and anything that involves hand-eye coordination, basically. Peter is brilliant at all that.
Right. If you had to choose a track off that album, which one would you choose?
Now you got me. I'll have to think about that. I can't remember what's on it.
Well, Tonight's Night. Gentleman Soldier.
Oh, Fighting for Strangers.
Fighting for Strangers. Yes. That's a very unusual piece, taken off the Rocket Cottage album.
That's right.
Because the style of it is very acoustic.
Yes.
Very stereo, I could almost say. It's an album you have to listen to at home quietly and just let the sounds go right around you.
The interesting thing about that is that if you hear the original that Mike Batt did, it was very much in advance of its time. Mm. Very unusual arrangement of a song like that, and very really good. We've sort of had to change it slightly because that was done very much in the studio, but it's I like what we've done with it now. Mm.
Summer.